Hi, this is Dr. Will Horton, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's podcast. And today, I want to talk about why confidence is important, why confidence is the key, and what can you do to really grow your self-confidence? Is it what we think it is, or is it not? Because confidence, when you look at variables of what people consider attractive cross-culturally, and almost every place, self-confidence is rated in the top three of what people find very attractive in other people. Not arrogance, because of course arrogance is seen as somewhat repulsive for most people, but true self-confidence is very attractive because we're drawn to confident people. And so one of my favorite quotes is that you're as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fears, as young as your hope, and as old as your despair. That's Samuel Ullman. But confidence is a self-fueling cycle. Either it works for the positive or the negative. That's why once your confidence is damaged, it's hard to get it back. A negative example, of course, would be in the sports world. You already see an example of when an elite athlete gets in a bad streak, hitting streak, or whatever streak is, they're always working to build their self-confidence back up because it can be so destructive. In fact, just this last year when at the Super Bowl, when the team that was up very high by 25 at one point, and then they lost, everyone's talking about, will they get their confidence back? Will they get their confidence back? Because it's somewhat devastating, as opposed to, and it becomes a cycle. But you rather develop a positive loop, and that's what we'll be talking about. Because again, to use a sports analogy, when you look at a very self-confident athlete or team, even when they're down, they don't have the physiology of no self-confidence, shoulders down, head down, they're confident. And again, going back to the Super Bowl, even when they were down by over three touchdowns, when you looked at the Patriots sidelines, there wasn't a lot of despair. They were focused, they're ready, because they had the confidence, which means when they're thinking about this, they say, this has happened before. We've been down. We do this. We can do this. And it leads to the attitude and the physical presence of thinking, I can do this. And that's what everyone on the team said. They didn't get dejected. They went forward. So we want to begin to develop a positive loop. So how does self-confidence really develop? And just as importantly, what destroys it? And again, when you think about this, one of the things that destroys self-confidence, let's talk about the destruction of self-confidence. And one sure way to really mess up your self-confidence is to compare yourself to others in general. But especially if you compare yourself to an expert or someone that's been doing it for a long time. So I remember not too long ago, I had someone, come to me and talk about they wanted to be a great public speaker. I said, great. And let's work on it. They said, yeah, but I suck. I'm like, wait a minute. What makes you think you suck? Well, they said, I went to a Tony Robbins seminar and I can't do what he's doing. So I asked the question, how long have you been trying to be a public speaker? And they said about 6 months. And I'm like, well, you realize Tony Robbins has been doing this since he's 16 years old. So you're comparing yourself to a guy that's literally been doing it almost 40 years. So why would you think you're going to be at that level when you don't have the skill set yet? So if you compare yourself to that, you're going to set yourself up for failure. I call that false comparing. It also will damage you in other ways. Again, I remember working with a young actor that wanted to be a better actor, and their role models were these very elite actors. But we were in this acting class, and the teacher did something kind of interesting. She brought in some audition tapes that she found and some of the first performances, not just audition tape, but first performances. In fact, you can find this on YouTube of some what we would call elite actors today. Now, when you watch them in their audition or in their first performance, yes, you see the potential. Yes, you see the underlying talent. Yes, all that's there, but they're not polished. They haven't been doing it for 20 or 30 years yet. So it begs the question, rather than say, why can't I be like them? If you see someone that's very good at something, someone that has what you want, what if you think instead, I wonder how they were when they started? which puts your brain in a whole different trajectory. Because what we want to do is we want to build. We want to build on it. And some of the tips, of course, is to take action. Motivated, self-confidence people take action because motion equals emotion. When you take action, it can help build your emotion. You know, an item in motion tends to stay in motion. An item at rest tends to stay at rest. So get up and take some action. That'll get you the first step. And then if you ask the question, what did they do before they got so good? Most people will get back. Well, you can find out what they're doing. It's not that hard. And so you'll find out, like, oh, they took classes. They took seminar. I mean, if you want to be a great public speaker, you find out Tony Robbins is constantly taking seminars, constantly taking classes, working on his presentation, getting feedback. After, you know, he talks, he gets feedback from the group, from his, you know, his core group, things like that. Lead actors take classes. Even today, guys like Robert De Niro and Pacino, they're in scene study. They're in character development. Bradley Cooper still works with an acting coach because they're constantly developing their skills. And once you realize that, it can set you in a different trajectory. Also, you want to begin to monitor your self-talk. How are you talking to yourself when you're comparing yourself to these people or trying a new behavior, wanting to be self-confident? And if you're asking yourself questions that destroy your self-talk, like the guy that came there going, why do I suck at motivational speaking? Why am I a horrible public speaker? Well, his brain's going to give him all these reasons. Rather than asking himself, how can I be a little better today? How can I do a little bit better? And that can help you find a sense of humor about it and develop an attitude of gratitude so you can begin to ask yourself better questions. Because again, the questions you ask yourself focuses your reticular activating system in certain directions. And so if you're asking, in general, questions that set you back, you know, why is everybody better than me? And of course, a general question people ask that messes themselves up is, why don't they like me? Well, that's going to destroy everything. Instead of asking yourself, how can I be better today? How can I be a little bit better today than I was tomorrow? How can I be confident today? And then if you ask yourself, what have I done well in the past I can use in this new skill? What can I learn from this? If you do that, it sets your brain in a whole different trajectory. And so what I want you to think about is this. If you do the best you can, is that all you can do? Is the best you can do all you can do? Well, it's a paradoxical question. Yes, the best you can do is all you can do right now. But if you open your mind to the idea the best you can do is all you can do right now, doesn't mean you can't do more later. Because once you begin to add incremental steps, it's a miracle. You know, as I say, praise Jesus, it's a miracle. You know, if all you can do right now is 10 push-ups, if you dropped on the floor and did 10 push-ups, if we were in a group, and we could look at you and tell, yes, that's probably all you can do. Your face is flushed, you're tired, everything hurts. So that's all you can do. But if you take a rest for, say, 3 minutes, can you do a few more? Yes. And if you rest a few more minutes after that, can you do a few more? Yes. And if you rest a little bit more, can you do a couple more? Probably yes. So suddenly you've done 20 push-ups. So you went from 10 to 20. You've doubled. It's a miracle. No, it's incremental growth by taking a little break in between. But if you wait a day or two and then go back and try it again, you could probably do 12 to 15 push-ups out of the gate. So the best you can do is all you can do right now, knowing you can do more later. So you want to begin to think about adding these steps and taking action, because discipline, the discipline of taking action, is what really builds self-confidence. I've heard it said that self-confidence and self-esteem without self-discipline is delusion. It's kind of like affirmations without some kind of emotion and discipline. That's when you get delusional. If you sit on your couch going, you know, there are no weeds outside. There are no weeds in my yard. There are no weeds in my yard. And then you keep visualizing it and affirming it, but you don't take any action. And someone asks, no, there's no weeds in my yard. And they drive by your place and it's just full of weeds. Yeah, that's delusion. So you want to begin to build on this in new and more interesting ways. And so you want to begin to look at the things you want to add. What do you want to be confident about? Because the best way to do this is, first of all, think about what is it you're confident now? Everyone is confident in something. Again, I have people come to me and they say, I have no self-confidence, absolutely no self-confidence. I'm saying, really? You got out of your car and walked into my office. Well, yeah, that did. Well, you were confident you could get out of your car and walk into my office. I mean, we could take it all the way back to very little steps. You drove here, which means you have confidence in your ability to drive, and you have confidence that those other maniacs on the road aren't going to swerve over the yellow line and hit you head on. So there's all these matters of trust and confidence you have just to survive. So you know how to do it. But what begins to happen, you generalize in a negative way, or just because I'm not self-confident when I give a speech, therefore I'm not self-confident. No, you're just not self-confident in that. And again, if you're judging yourself by an expert, you're going to make yourself feel even worse. And generally, just across the board, if you judge your insides by someone else's outsides, you're really setting yourself up for failure. Because, you know, someone may appear happy and you want to be like them and you start doing what they're doing and you think, well, why aren't I happy? They're happy. And if you really got to know them, you'd find out they're miserable. They present well, but they're miserable. I was talking to someone that works with celebrities. And I said, isn't it funny that most of Americans are idolizing celebrities because they're happy and they're doing all this fun stuff. And you get to know some of these celebrities, they're miserable. They're miserable to their core because they always have to be on. They have to be nice. They have to do this. They have to do that. Some of them, their entire life is structured and almost scripted, if you will. But we think they're happy. So then if we try to do some of the things they do, you find out, I'm not happy. Well, that was a false comparison. Reminds me, too, of when I teach an NLP class here in Florida, we always go fly on the trapeze. It's a skill-building, confidence-building exercise. And it's a lot of fun. And again, when you take action and you do something you didn't think you can do, that's how you break those limiting beliefs. If you do something you didn't think you can do, whether it's fly on the trapeze, do a fire walk, go for a mile walk when you haven't done it, it begins to shatter those preconceived things in your mind that holds you back. So people come fly on the trapeze. And many times someone will say to my wife, who helps in the trapeze, oh, you're so confident, I want to be like you. And she'll smile and help. And then later she goes, why do they say that? I'm not confident. And I go, well, they see you in something you're confident at, in the trapeze. And so therefore they assume she's very confident in everything. But she's like everyone. She thinks she's confident in, she thinks she's not confident in. Things like that. But again, one of the things she can do is a false comparison. And I've seen it where some professional flyers will come into the trapeze because the guy also coaches professionals. And she'll want to compare herself to these people who are A, half our age, and B, still flying professionally. So of course their skill set's going to be different. This is what they do. I'm always reminded one time someone got upset with me at a conference. And because I trained them and they've been doing some things and they worked for me a little bit and they're like that. And then they saw me do something and they come up and they're like, they're ready to quit. And I go, what is what? Well, I can't do what you do. I might as well not do it. I went, or you, can you teach me everything? I said, brother, I've been doing this for over, at that point, 25 years, almost 10 years ago now. I said, I've been doing this for over 25 years. You've been with me 6 months. If you think I can teach you everything I've done in 25 years and 6 months, you're delusional, and I'm delusional if I think I can do it. Some of this you just got to do. And so, but he was comparing himself to something else. And this is the difference. The other thing truly confident people seem to know is the difference between knowing and doing. Knowing and doing. Just because you know something doesn't mean you can do it. In fact, I was listening to a coach talk, and one of them was Madden, John Madden. It wasn't too long after he finished coaching the Raiders. And he talked about that what drove him crazy when he'd get a new athlete is he'd be showing him something, or one of the position coaches would be showing him something. And the athlete would say, yeah, I know. He goes, I never want to hear I know. unless you're doing it. Because if you're not doing it, you don't know it. You intellectually think you know it, but you don't really know it. Because things you really know, you can do. Things you really know, you can do. Interesting. And I do that. Well, I know it, but can I do it? Now, once I know how to do it, then I really know it. Example in my own life, I self-disclose. I've been doing theater for 30 years. And about 5 years ago, I decided I wanted to sing. I understand how to sing, but I really couldn't sing. So I work around it, like a lot of us. And then people think, oh, you're so confident. You've been in all these plays. You've done film. You've done this. But I'd always skirt around. If I auditioned for a musical, there was always a role I would go for that the guy really didn't have to sing. And of course, I got into musicals. I could sing little things. If there's a big thing, we could work around it and give the song to someone else. All that kind of stuff. So I decided I wanted to do it. So even though I understood it mentally, I didn't know how to do it. So then I went and learned how to do it. Now I'm much more confident about singing, and I've done musicals where I've sung. So what we want to do is begin to build on that, because discipline is the key to self-esteem and self-confidence. And once you begin to develop self-discipline, it grows. And it's the little things. Do something you're not comfortable doing, and that begins to build that self-discipline cycle. Because on the flip side, if you don't, it goes down a bad path. In social psychology, they have a phenomenon called the broken windows theory. And what the broken windows theory is, if a neighborhood is starting to go downhill, if there's a building and there's broken windows and nothing's done to repair the windows, rapidly the whole place will disintegrate. But if someone goes and fixes the windows, even boards them up, things like that, it helps. Or if there's graffiti, they paint it over quickly. It stops. But if they allow it, it rapidly goes. It's called the broken windows theory. And any of us that's been to New York City, if you've ever been there in the 70s or 80s and rode the subway, it's much different than it is today. Why? They started looking at this thing called the broken windows theory. And on the subway, if there's graffiti, they try to cover it as quickly. They got rid of the panhandlers. They really controlled the crime with more police. And now, it's a much different experience. And they try not to let it slip backwards. And we've all done that. We do it in our own lives. I'm not going to work out today. Okay. I'm not going to work out today again. And the next thing you know, it's been 6 months. And little discipline failures begin to destroy your self-confidence, because it's in legal terms, they call it the slippery slope. If I give up this right, next thing you know, that right's gone. If we go down this path, then that happens. So what we want to do is begin to challenge ourselves to take little things and get better and better, and ask yourself, how can I be a little better today than I was yesterday? That starts your brain on a different trajectory. It builds your confidence. And when you're thinking about developing a new skill set, if you look at something you're already confident at, whether it's driving a car, cooking a meal, whatever it is, feel the feelings of being confident. And access that, as we call it, of course, anchor that feeling in, and then step into the new behavior, taking a little bit of that confidence, a little bit. We don't want to step in totally. You don't want to visualize and be so self-confident. I drive a car. I can drive a car on a racetrack. I'm a great driver. Therefore, I can jump in an airplane and fly it. No, that's not quite right. We don't want arrogance. We want confidence. And again, if you add in a little bit of humor and a little bit of the idea that you can get better, then it begins to build your self-confidence. And again, we want to model what works, not what doesn't work. So the last thing you want to do is, obviously, in the NLP and the hypnosis world, self-development world, we always say, find someone that knows what you want to do, and they're doing it, and then model what they do. Great. But just as importantly, find out the people that aren't doing it, and don't do what they do. I heard a guy say, if you don't want to be poor, find out what poor people are doing and don't do what they're doing. Obviously, do what successful people are doing, but just as importantly, don't do the other. And I always think of, if you want to be in shape and keep your weight down, find people that are fit and in shape and find out what they're doing, start doing what they're doing, and really look at the people that aren't, and you find out, well, what aren't they doing? Or what are they doing, and don't do that. You know, they're sitting on the couch, they're eating, they're living on fast foods and this and that. And so we want to begin to develop it. Because remember, every new discipline affects everything else. Every new discipline builds more discipline. On the flip side, every time you let a discipline lapse, it affects everything else. So we want to do this, and we want to build it. So I'd like to thank you for sharing your time with me on today's very first podcast of the relaunch. We did a podcast several years ago, and I put it on the back burner. Today is the first one that we're relaunching. So I'd like to thank you, and I will see you next week on next week's podcast. Have a great day.